Hey, welcome to Coffee and Chatter today. We're going to talk about firearms. I call this video Buy Back Better. So I realize that progressives are handicapped when it comes to higher order tasks, things that require like simple math calculations. You know, usually they do better with short 3 or 4 word phrases that they repeat over and over again ad infinitum until they themselves are convinced of what they're saying. Like, you're a racist. So, I'm going to try to simplify this. I'm going to try to do the math for them. But why buy back better? Well, that's my official description of Joe Biden's plan to orchestrate the world's biggest gun confiscation in history. So, the poster child of assault weapons, the inanimate object that every progressive loves to hate, is a semi-automatic AR-15 sport and hunting rifle. Yes, sport and hunting rifle, not assault weapon, not weapon of war. So, how many are there in America? Well, conservative estimates continue to repeat a number between 5 to 10 million, 8.5 million. Amongst, okay, this is important, almost 400 million civilian firearms in America. So, to me, that number is beyond laughable. 10 million out of 400? Nah, I don't think so. But, and this is important, the smaller the number the Democrats use, the easier it is to sell their message, to get the big, bad weapons of war off the street. So, you know, if they come at it and say, hey, we're going to confiscate 40 million firearms, that's going to, whoa, what the, you know, what's that going to cause? But if that number's 5 million, you know, that starts to, you know, fall into the category of something that's possible to do. At least that's the way they want to portray it, I think. It's my opinion, all right? Now, let's get to some serious estimates. I looked around, and I would say that the number of AR-15s in the U.S., I've seen numbers like 14 million, 20 million, 30 million. In the end, nobody knows. Nobody actually knows how many there are. Now, there's another side to this. There are many other semi-automatic long guns out there that are, I mean, similar to the AR-15. For instance, take a 9mm semi-automatic carbine. It can fire as fast and as many lethal rounds as an AR-15. It uses a different caliber bullet, but you can do almost as much damage. And that's just one of many semi-auto long guns available to Americans that the morons in Congress are trying to ban and frankly couldn't differentiate between their, well, you know what I'm talking about. So, handguns and shotguns aside, there are probably at least 100 million long guns in the U.S. How many of them are semi-automatic and fit the technical description of what defines an AR-15? Does anyone really know how many guns fall into that category? Nope. Anybody's guess. So, riddle me this. How is a government program demanding that a lawful American surrender his or her personal property for some arbitrary amount of money considered a buyback program? Did the government sell any American a firearm? Then how does the government demanding that you give it back called a buyback program under the threat of force at the end of a gun barrel? Call that a buyback? Okay, now let's throw something else into the mix to add to the confusion. Where's the money coming from for this, quote, buyback program? of Americans' property under the threat of violence that were not sold by those claiming to buy back. Where's the money coming from? Does the government have any money that it didn't first take from taxpayers? You could listen to Thomas Sowell or Dr. Walter Williams all day ask that question. Does the government have any money that it first didn't take from somebody else? Or, where we're at now, that it didn't print? And that doesn't change anything because it's printed under the, the guise of saying, hey, it'll be paid back by the taxpayers. So go ahead and fire up the printing press. So it's all taxpayer money. So Biden and company, thinking that the government can take our money and then come and demand that we accept what it offers us from the pool of our money to surrender our personal property to men that are standing at our doorway, armed with semi-automatic or, more probably, full automatic weapons. Seems plausible, right? Oh, yeah. All right, let's move on to the hard part since we got that easy stuff out of the way. The simple math. I've looked into, what is the average worth of an AR-15? And that's before it's been fitted out with accessories that you might want or the owner of the gun might need for whatever the task at hand is. Are you going to use it to hunt, for competition, or for target shooting? So it looks like on the low end, a stripped down price of an AR-15 averages about a grand. Can you get one for less? Probably. Can you get one for a lot more? A nice high-end piece? Absolutely. Now, they don't come typically with the accessory, so the most expensive accessory and what most people want is a tactical scope, especially for target shooting or hunting or competition. Scopes range from hundreds of dollars to thousands of dollars. The more expensive the firearm, the more one is willing to spend for a good tactical scope. Just like you don't put lipstick on a pig, you don't cheap out and put a $200 scope on a $2,500 firearm. So you got an investment there. So while the tactical scope admittedly is the most expensive accessory, that doesn't negate the fact that you can spend hundreds more for other accessories to outfit your sport or hunting rifle to make it more comfortable, more fun, and more usable. I'm not going to go into it because the morons in Congress wouldn't understand. They don't even know what a clip and a magazine are. So how much will it cost to buy back some 50 million semi-automatic long guns that fall into the category of an AR-15? Remember, there are also going to be probably some shotguns included in that list, as well as handguns. So the number can get rather big. Again, we have 400 million or so guns in America. How many of them are they going to go after? Does 50 million sound like too much? I don't think so. Might be even more. So in my opinion, I would say $75 to $100 billion. Meaning every man, woman, and child, except, of course, illegal immigrants, they're not going to be required to pitch in, will be charged $300 by the government to give gun owners an average of $2,000 when they're forced to surrender their personal property that might, of course, actually significantly more. How's that going to work? Good question, but I'm sure the answer to that is way above their pay grade. That's predicated on a fair price. If the government comes along and says, hey, we're going to give you $300, turn your gun in. I don't know how that would go over. Of course, it'd be a lot cheaper, but... Okay. So let's drill down a little bit from who's going to pay. Because in the end, who's going to pay? Taxpayers. only. And given the number of actual taxpayers compared to, you know, Americans, the number is going to be about $666 and 66666 ad infinitum cents. 666, scary, huh? All right. The IRS rounds up and rounds down to the nearest dollar. So it would actually be $667. Take the scariness out of it. So, finally, the U.S., if you believe the number, already has a purported debt of close to $30 trillion. Some people think it's more. And an unfunded liability, Social Security, Medicare, pensions that are promised with nothing behind them, of $100 to $200 trillion. So the cash for Biden's Buy Back Better program will have to be borrowed, right? Or more likely printed. I don't know if anyone's still loaning us money. We've borrowed money from a lot of countries. China and Japan are our largest creditors. But even then, I mean, it's $1.4 trillion each out of 30 or so trillion. But I don't know that anyone's loaning us any more money, especially when we're running the printing presses day and night and just devaluing the dollar, and they're looking at their loan papers as the paper becomes more and more worthless. So, right now, interest is way down. What's going to happen if it goes up? Anyway, in any event, there will be interest charged on this money that's used for the buyback program because we don't have the money. So it's going to be printed or borrowed. In the end, it's going to be called borrowed money. Bottom line, it's going to be added to the debt. It'll be in some bill or budget. Interest will be charged. Who knows what the initial amount would actually grow to if anybody tracked it before it was ever paid back, if it's ever paid back. And so who's going to pay it back in the end? Your grandchildren. That could be a question or a statement. Your grandchildren? Okay, well, we can finally connect all the dots here. Here's what we have. The government and the person of Democrat operatives is going to send armed law enforcement officers to our houses who will be there to demand that we surrender our personal property. It was previously legal, but that they now consider bad, even though they themselves will be holding them and continue to use them, and worse, to keep us under control. Afterwards, at some point, the Dems will fire up the printing presses to print some $100 billion to fund the buyback. Later, when our children are grown, with grown children of their own, who themselves are going to be old enough to work and pay taxes, are these the Americans who are going to pay back the money that Joe Biden used to buy back the guns he never sold us through his plan that is really nothing more than an unconstitutional gun confiscation scheme? Buy Back Better is definitely doublespeak at its best. All right, so I'm going to, here as a postscript, I'm going to call this a postscript. I want to discuss something real quick before I conclude. The first assault weapons ban that was instituted under Bill Clinton had two major differences in the form of clauses from what I'm understanding or trying to talk about doing to us now. First was the sunset clause. That essentially put a time limit on the legislation. At the time, it was 10 years. For the legislation to remain in place, it would have had to been renewed. Now, normal legislation doesn't come that way. The only way to get rid of it is to revoke it. You have to pass another law or, you know, defund it or whatever. But in this case, it was the opposite. It had a built-in sunset clause that if it wasn't renewed, it expired. And that's what happened under Bush 43. It was not renewed. And Democrats have been crying about it ever since. Now, if anything like that, like a sunset clause, is going to be part of this new assault weapons ban that's being proposed. No one is telling us about it, so I have to conclude that they want this to be just perpetual. And finally, the more problematic issue, the grandfather clause. The grandfather clause in the first assault weapons ban protected all so-called assault weapons that were already on the street. It only affected new sales and manufacturing of new banned weapons. So anybody who already had one retained ownership, but you couldn't buy one. If that's the case now, nobody's telling us that, and someone would have to explain why Bido and Beto, who I call them, are screaming, "We're coming for your AR-15s. You bet we are." And finally, with the possibility of 10, 20, 30 million or more banned weapons that are going to be in this weapons ban on the street that the Democrats, the progressives, are promising to confiscate, the question needs to be asked. Are these people really that crazy? Or are they just that stupid? All right, I'll bite. Presumably, both. All right, thanks for listening to Coffee Chatter.